Once upon a time, there was a desperate mother and her desperately ailing 8-year-old son. The boy had jumped into a rowboat, had fallen against an oarlock, an ostensibly minor injury, but the child was hemophilic. He was a bleeder, and the bleeding refused to stop. Doctors were summoned, and yet they could do nothing. For 11 days, the youngster lay semi-conscious and screaming in pain. It seemed certain that the boy would not survive. His mother notified the family priest, but to her astonishment, the priest remained cheerful, confident. "God has seen your tears and heard your prayers," he told her. "Do not grieve. The little one will not die." And in fact, he did not. A miracle, mother called it, and the doctors, shaking their heads, agreed. Did I mention the child's mother was Alexandra, the Empress, the last Tsarina of Russia? And that her son was her only one, Alexis, heir to his father Nicholas' throne, and the family priest. They called him Father Gregory. But the tragic history of Russia's last royal family recalls him by a solitary and infamous name, Rasputin. Oh, yes, you learned of them in school. You've seen their lives in motion pictures. You thought you knew their story, but this is the rest of the story. As the parents of any hemophilic child could tell you, such family misfortunes enormously preoccupying, and thus preoccupied were the Tsar and the Tsarina, Nicholas and Alexandra, in the early years of this century. And yet, while medical science frequently failed them, a wild-eyed, self-styled holy man from Siberia achieved astounding results. Time after time, he stepped in when the doctors gave up and appeared to stop their little boy's bleeding through his own mystical gifts. Now, understandably, their peasant healer, Father Gregory Rasputin, gained considerable influence over the royal family, holding the Tsarevich's health as a hostage. So Russia's destiny and Rasputin's power were indeed inexorably intertwined. But what was that power? Now, it was once thought that Rasputin hypnotized young Alexis with those huge, haunting, penetrating eyes, and then made subconscious suggestions that the boy's bleeding would slow and stop. But the room was darkened when Father Gregory visited, and so others later believed that it was Rasputin's commanding voice alone that brought about the miracle. Well, physicians today say that while hypnosis can help, it cannot cure. So we don't know for sure how Rasputin did it unless there was really something more profoundly mystical about him than our modern minds will permit us to comprehend. For after the Tsar's son injured himself in that rowboat, autumn of 1912, after the doctors had given him up for dead, indeed after the boy had been given the last rites and his demise seemed imminent, only then did his mother get in touch with Rasputin by telegraph. Only then did she contact Rasputin, and he returned the Tsarina's frantic message with a telegram of his own saying that all would be well. No, Rasputin never visited the boy's bedside. It couldn't have been his eyes. It couldn't have been his voice. He made his bold against all odds declaration that the Tsar's son would be healed from his own peasant village beyond the Ural Mountains, 1,000 miles away. And now you know the rest of the story.